We're continuing our series on our preeminent identity, our supreme identity, whatever word you want to use. Supreme identity, our preeminent identity. Again, the word supreme means our ultimate, greatest, number one, before all else, superior identity. Ultimate, greatest, number one, before all else, superior identity. Now, this teaching gonna get a little rough, probably starting today if we get down to it. But it's necessary. It's necessary. Because understanding that we are first Christians, followers of God, slaves of the Most High, that we're born of God and therefore children of God, sons and daughters of God, because we've been begotten by God, and in John lets us know in particular, through the Word of God, which is the seed planted in us, that's who we are, first and foremost. Let's look at, we're slaves of the Most High God, we're Christians, followers of God, born of God, sons and daughters of God, children of God. Let's add another label, if you will, to that, who we are. We're believers. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 15. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15. Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer, that's us, we're Christ too, in common with an unbeliever? Look what else we are. Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them. That's why we are his temple, because he lives inside of us. And walk among them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What a promise. We're believers. We're Christ. We're temple of God's, temples of God. Think of Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 19. You can say I'm a slave of the Most High God. You can say I'm a Christian. You can tell them I'm born of God. You can tell them I'm a child of God. You can tell them that I'm a believer. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 9. Galatians chapter 3, verse 9. Verse 9 says, so then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, look at this, comma, the believer. Like a title, like John the Baptist. We are believers. We're believers. One more, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 16. Thank you, Father. We are believers. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 16. If any woman, here it is, who is a believer, has dependent widows, she must assist them, and the church must be burdened, so that it may assist those who are widows indeed. So a woman who is a believer, Abraham the believer, what harmony has a believer with an unbeliever? We are believers. So we are slaves of the Most High God, Christians, followers of Christ, which means imitators. We are born of God, sons and daughters of God. We are believers. Who else are we? Look at John, the Gospel, 13th chapter, verse 35. John, the 13th chapter, verse 35. The Gospel of John, the 13th chapter, verse 35. Jesus is speaking. He said, by this, and he's telling us in 34 that we are to love one another. By this, all men will know that you are what? My disciples. That's another moniker. If you have love for one another. We are disciples. Disciples, you've heard that phrasing many times, mathetes, which means a learner, a student, a pupil. Jesus is the teacher. And that word carries with it the idea of being sitting up under a teacher, a master teacher, as a student, a learner, and a pupil, with the desire to be like the teacher. Not just listening to the teacher teach, but listening with the intent to hear, obey, and imitate the teacher. That's mathetes, disciple. We are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are slaves of the Most High, Christians, followers, born of God, sons and daughters of God, children of God, believers, disciples, and this is really a breakdown of being followers. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Imitators of God. We are to imitate God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Mimetes is the word imitator. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. I think King James may have followers in there. Therefore, be imitators. And by the way, that is a command, not a suggestion. He didn't say, you know, why don't y'all try this out? No, he said, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. And walk in love. Well, what would imitate God? Walking in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering. Gave himself, that's reflexive, gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma, sweet smelling savor. Wow, what a command. We're to imitate God and walk in love just as Christ has loved us. What a command. The strength to follow that command could never come from us. And so we're imitators of God. And there's some others you could go over. So we'll stop there as far as who we are in Christ. We're slaves of the Most High God, Christians. We're followers of Christ, born of God, sons and daughters of God, children of God, believers, disciples, imitators of God. And there's others too. You can pick out whatever you want to pick out. That's who we are first. He shed his blood for us. Our identity is in Christ Jesus first.
Amen.
He bore us through his word, purchased us with his own blood. What a tragedy when we don't understand the ownership and who we really are. What a tragedy when we allow the world and society and their worldview to impose their labels on us. Black, brown, blue. What a tragedy. And as black people, we really have allowed the world, black and white, to impose their of their who we are, our, their status of who they think we are on us. We're born of God. We're purchased possessions. We're imitators of God. Let's talk about the negatives behind not knowing first and foremost who you are. This one's going to get a little rough. Let's talk about the negatives behind not knowing first and foremost who we are. If your ethnicity, your color, your culture, if they have the preeminence, right? If they have the first place-ness, not a word, but today, in your life. In other words, if you're identified with your ethnicity, your color, your culture, your looks, your socioeconomic standing first, if you do that first, then your focus in particular is going to be on you and not on God. In a sense of you're going to hate what you hate first and foremost rather than what God hates. And this is crucial. If you are your color, your culture, your economics, your social standing, your ethnicity first and foremost, if that has a preeminence, then you are first and foremost at the front of your life. What bothers you is going to bother you more, not necessarily more than God, but it's going to bother you first and foremost to the point that if something else comes up under that, you're not going to really even pay attention to it for the most part, because you are ruling you. You are on your mind first and foremost. You identify with all of your natural, with the natural side of you. You're going to hate what you hate. And you're going to love what you love first. And that's crucial. Rather than hating what God hates and loving what God loves first. This is crucial. The greatest prayer that a pastor could ever pray over his congregation, over the congregation of the people of God, is that prayer to hate what God hates and love what God loves. That's a transition. I've been praying that prayer over you all probably for about a year, off and on. That's a transition. Because in order to get to that point, there's some things in the background that's got to happen first. And one of these, one major thing is this. We must first identify with who we are in Christ Jesus first. When you're first, your color, your ethnicity, your culture, your looks, your social and economic standing, when you're first, you're going to hate what you love, hate what you hate, and love what you love first. That is the focus of your life. And we'll overlook those things that God hates. In other words, you'll end up ignoring, and now you know me, I love synonyms, ignoring, bypassing, overlooking, or paying little to no attention, or giving little to no significance to that which God hates, loathes, and despises, or to that which God loves, embraces, prizes, and cherishes and values. So you'll overlook those things because your focus is on the things that, now you may hate what you're hating is also what God hates, but there's other things that God hates that we don't even give notice to. For an example, when black issues, quote unquote, are brought to our attention, and alongside those issues, other circumstances, situations, issues, and happenings that God hates, then we'll primarily focus on that which deals with us and overlook and ignore the other things. Is that you begin to get a picture? So let's even, for example, here it is. when a white cop unjustly shoots a black man, our focus is all on that. And there's a vitriol and the hatred of there. Good, you should. If it's unjust, we're in line with God at that point. But our focus is on that because we're black. And because of the circumstances behind it. But how about the continual destruction of black men against black men that goes on every single day? As a Christian, we basically overlook that for the most part. There isn't that same vitriol. And you know, when I mention that to other folks, I'm just talking to the dean about this. What I get from black people is an explanation. And I said, there's an explanation for sin. If you're a Christian, murder is murder. And unjust murder is an unjust murder is an unjust murder. I said, then you gonna tell me that because a white cop kills a, yeah, man, but they are in charge and they are, we've been given to sworn and protect. I understand that. They have been. But an unjust murder is an unjust murder. There's no explanation behind that. How the perpetrated the crime is really irrelevant in God's eye. Murder is murder. Unjust murder. That's why we're going to really need help from God to switch our thinking over to hate what we hate. That's why that prayer is going forth, to hate what he hates. We hate some of what he hates. We need to do better. How about the continual destruction of all people, but if you want to stick in the black thing, the continual destruction of boys and girls by the hundreds of thousands in the womb of mothers goes virtually unnoticed by Christians. And unfortunately, some Christians even support it. Now here's something that God loathes. Here's something that God hates. And Christians barely notice it, and some even agree with something that God hates and that he loathes and despises with intense hatred. Every time Ray Ray shoots Pook, every single time God hates that killing just as much as we as natural black people hate when a cop, white cop kills him. We need to get there. Father God, help us to get there. And we'll never get there seeing ourselves first as black people or your ethnicity or your color, your culture. We won't get there while we're in that state. That's why I thank God for at least a couple of months of teaching on who we are. And now he can hit this with us. And I hope we can locate ourselves and be real with ourselves. The continual slaughter that goes on in the womb. A continual slaughter that happens in the streets barely gets a notice by the people of God. Father God, help us to repent. We repent of that. There's no vitriol, there's no hatred, there's no loathing, no despising, no bitterness that we display when a white cop shoots a black guy unarmed, unjustly. And we all know that fornication, which is sex outside of marriage, and adultery, sex with someone who isn't your spouse, they pretty much get no notice at all. On the radars of our lives, it barely registers a blip.
just going around, just silent. And God loathes sex outside of its proper context.
No notice at all. Think about it. There is no hatred. There's no loathing, no vitriol, no bitterness to those things. And here God is, as the word of God says, symbolically, anthropomorphically speaking, foaming at the mouth. That's what the word means, to be enraged. Ooh, are we hearing this? He's enraged. He is, symbolically speaking, foaming at the mouth. And we barely like, nothing. Nothing. It's amazing that God, it's amazing that he continues to give grace. I say it's amazing that he can control himself. Because if I'm super mad about something and the person next to me is not even noticing it and I'm foaming at the mouth about it, I'm going to be really mad at this person. Man, did you see what's going on? We have no idea how amazing the grace of God is.
Amen.
That's why it's a tremendous prayer to hate. Help us to develop hatred for what you hate, all that you hate, and love what you love. We ain't even mention no, if a white person kill a white person, we ain't even thinking twice about that. Just being real, we ain't thinking twice about that. They don't even get on the radar. Well, these ain't black person killing black person. White guy going and shoot up a building. The news report, what color was he? First thing was on my mind, was he black? First thing, I just being real. And when he wasn't black, we relieved. Instead of just as hatred and just as much sadness and sorrow. Because, why? Because many image of God bearers were murdered. And that brings the ire and wrath of God. Those extremists in Sri Lanka, who in the world, who is down there, you think? But there they were, over 200-300 were around, killed in multiple suicide attacks. That's unjust murder of the image bearers of God. And I think once we transition our thinking and to understand that every single human being is an image bearer, that's going to help us to transition into thinking toward every person like God would have us to think. Every person counts. Every person's life has dignity and it has worth because they're image bearers. Don't worry, it's going to get worse. How about because I want to get this going early. How about the upcoming 2020 election? Ms. Pitty said, we're going to go there. Now, you're going to hear politics. It's not. That's what you're going to hear, but I'm going to tell you now, I'm not talking politics. I'm not telling you that his foreign policy needs to get better. I'm not going to talk to you about programs that's going to have, you know, the middle class pay less taxes. That's politics. I'm not talking that. I'm not talking about getting schools better in the black community, getting better textbooks and more computers. And that's politics. I'm talking about morality. So get politics out of your mind. I'm going to mention Republicans. I'm going to mention Democrats. I may mention some names, but I'm talking from morality. I'm talking about Bible, God, Scripture. I could care less about whether they fix the roads. I would love the potholes to be fixed. That'd be cool. But I'm not talking about that. Bumble pothole. Identifying first as a Christian means how you view this process and how you view politicians has got to change for some. Because in the 2020 election that's up and coming, you have some folks in there that's going to be very appealing, especially the black people. There's Kamala Harris, Senator. She's a female, black, from California. And just seeing the fact that even a black female has even the potential to run and be a serious contender for the president of the United States is very attractive to black people. There's Cory Booker, who's a senator from New Jersey. Black, potential. There's Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts. She's white, but guess what she wants? She wants reparations for black people. White? Ooh, that's very appealing. And there are some others. As a matter of fact, there's a movement afoot among the Democrats. All those are Democrats. They're embracing something called race-conscious politics. And the reparation for black people, which I don't know how it's going to be pulled off, because it's got to get trillions of dollars to even pull something like that off. Who would you pay and all of that? But again, that's politics. But to a black person, that's very appealing. Very appealing. In the Senate, there's 51 Republicans, 49 Democrats. 51 Republicans, 49 Democrats. So the Republicans have the majority by two. To me, what I'm about to go over ought to seal the deal. We're talking about hating what God hates, loving what God loves, and keeping the main thing the main thing. Don't get distracted with politics. Stay in the Word. You're not going to go into Revelation of Hebrew chapter John to Ezekiel and find anywhere about Wayne County Roads. I can go on to Jonah or Psalm and find out about reducing taxes on the middle class, the burden from taxes. But you can go into the Word of God to talk about some of the things we're going to talk about right now. Put before the United States government in March was a proposal which the United States Senate failed to get enough votes even to bring it before for a full vote. You got to get 60 votes. It's called the Born Alive Abortion Survivor Protection Act. Now, back when then President Obama, Senator Obama, early 2000, that was Born Alive Infant Protection Act, but they've changed it. It's Born Alive Abortion Survivor Protection Act. Now here it is, Born Alive Abortion Survivor Protection Act. Needless to say, you can hear it in the title, what's happening. They tried to kill the baby. You are not successful. The baby is born alive. And it's a shame that you even have a law in a civilized country, the United States, to say, hey, if the baby is born alive, then we're going to pass a bill that doctors are to use everything at their disposal to rescue that baby and bring them on alive, just as any other baby who's born at the same gestational period. That's the saying. You got to put a law about that. You tried to kill the baby. You failed in killing the baby. So the baby is born anyway. Let's make a law saying you got to let the baby live. Go do everything you can. Command doctors to do that. There's 49 Dems, Democrats, 51 Republicans. They needed 60 votes between these two to bring it before the Senate for a full vote. But you gotta get 60 even to get to that point. 46 Democrats voted against that. That if the baby is born alive, do everything you can to help it live. They voted against that. All 51 Republicans voted for it. And look, God bless them, to give you their names too. 3 Democrats voted for it with the Republicans. What guts they had when all their whole party voted against it. 3 of them had the nerve to cross the aisle and go over to the other side. Thank God for them. But you see, 3 plus that gives you 54. And so the Democrats were happy. They were loud and proud. Wanted the United States to know that we voted against this Born Alive Abortion Survivor Protection Act. And they include your front-running black and white Democrats, Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, wanted the world to know, yes, we voted against this. You think you would have the decency. I understand, okay, you for abortion. Usually there was some line you wouldn't cross, even those who were abortionists. But now that line is gone now. It's a born alive baby. You know what infanticide is? To kill a baby. Infanticide. To kill a baby. You have just, you voted against preventing infanticide, the murder of a baby. The baby's born alive. Every single Democrat but 3 voted for that. And all Republicans voted against it. Republicans say, yeah, Ford rather. Republicans say, yes, let's do that. The agenda of the, as Al Mohler used, the culture of death is being pushed hard through the Democratic Party. Not politics, just facts. Now, I ain't going to tell you who to vote for. You vote your conscience. But I must, as your pastor, inform you, don't get distracted by the bling of being on the verge of being part of maybe history. And I will continue to quote R.C. Sproul, I will march with the devil himself if he's against abortion. As long as I don't have to call him a Christian. Period. If you've seen that movie, you need to go see it. Everybody needs to go see the movie Unplanned. I hardly endorse that movie. Abortion is terrible. And you need to know that Planned Parenthood is rebranding, relabeling their abortion by calling it reproductive health. Reproductive health rights. And when you ask the Dems about it, they said, man, that bill was trying to take away a woman's right, her choices. The health of women were at stake. That's what the Democrats were saying. That's why I say the 2020 election is going to test this, who you really are, first and foremost. You're a child of God, first and foremost. And there's no way you should ever be a party to folks that are voting to kill children outside the womb. And that's something. Because if a baby who wasn't aborted or attempted to be aborted in the womb, if they are born and they are under distress, you got to save that baby. But just because the baby was aborted and it failed, you got to pass a law to save that baby. Do you think God kind of likes that, or is he loathing that? Is he foaming at the mouth of that? See, and if you're unwarned, you'll think, Kamala, hey, black girl, well, hey, this is history here. Wow, the struggle is real. We finna overcome the struggle. God and his word must be first. We have the mind of Christ. You think Jesus is okay with that? Not hardly. I know some of you don't like Trump. I ain't crazy about him either. But when I said I'll march with the devil, I ain't quite calling him the devil. I will march with him. Because Planned Parenthood and anybody who's for pro-abortion, they do not like Trump. Because he's trying to reduce money to Planned Parenthood. He told Planned Parenthood that if you give up abortion, we'll pour all kind of money on you. Planned Parenthood says no. Well, what does that tell you? That's their number one enemy, just like in the movie. That's their number one way. He said, give up abortion. Now, we just truly can be a productive health thing like your family planning and all that. This truly can be that. Yeah, give up abortion. They wouldn't do it. Do you realize that abortions are paid through our tax dollars? Did you understand that? We are forced to be a party to mass murder. And of course, we won't even mention same-sex marriage, homosexuality, lesbianism, all the things that God hates. We're not black people first. We're not white people first. We're not culture or ethnicity first. We're people of God, and we really need to take that seriously. We sing it loud and proud when we stand there on Sunday morning and Wednesday. That's why we keep singing that song. He has to keep ministering to us. We may sing that song until Jesus come back. I am who you say I am. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. But then let's act like that. I'm chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. And what do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Your child. A believer. We're your slaves. We're your children. We were born of you. You purchased us. 1 Corinthians 6, you are not your own. I am not my own. We are not our own. That means you just don't have the right to just because you feel something there because of your color and your ethnicity. That is incredible. I said to the Lord, you mean you got to pass a bill, a law? Has it come to this in America? Yes, it most certainly has. You mean the culture of death is that strong that you got to pass a law to let a baby live if it survives an abortion? Isn't it automatic? No, it's not. And so because it never reaches 60, it's never going to go there. I thank God for, I think it's Georgia, Kentucky, somewhere down there, that they call it the heartbeat bill. After 6 weeks, the heartbeat, you can't do an abortion. It was in Georgia. Because Hollywood is up in Georgia strong, all up in there. They did Marvel and another big picture there. Two of their big pictures were in there, were filmed in Georgia. So Hollywood is threatening them. We're going to take our $2 billion to that state because of Hollywood. So you pass this, you sign up on this, we're going to threaten to leave. And thank God the Republican governor signed off on it anyway. I love that. Thank you for his courage. Thank God. Because New York earlier this year signed up to kill the baby up until the due date. Allowed abortions up to the due date. Yes, ma'am. Up to the due date. And they cheered that. They literally cheered in New York when they voted that in. This mealy mouth opened in horror and they cheering. You can kill them until the due date. That's legal in New York. That is a law that is passed. That is right now the law in New York. And they, so since they did that now, so when you kill a pregnant woman, you just killed one person rather than two. That happened last week. Pregnant woman was killed. And the family was calling out, there's two murders. But in New York, because of the law that was just passed earlier this year, they're only going to get one. Hey, y'all. Devil run things. It's going to be just like this. He is truly the God of this world. What we got to do is stay focused as to who we are. Know who we are. Know our identity. We're governed by the word of God, not by our blackness. Say that again. We're governed by the word of God and not by our blackness. Then that'll start us on the road to loathe, despise, and hate what God hates. Yes, our mouths should be open in horror. How do you even come to that and formulate that in your mind to pass a bill like that? Thank God for the person who had the, I forgot who it was, a senator from the South who had the gall to even bring this up. But it was shot down. But he proposed a bill. He said, wow. He spoke to his comrades. Spoke to the Senate. He said, wow, have we come to the point that we are allowing infanticide? He said, no, that's a strong word, but that's what it is. He spoke to the senators. How has it come to that? Of a woman's right. Reproductive health. We'll close. For the record, the three Democrats, pray for them, Robert Casey of Pennsylvania, Joe Manchin of West Virginia, Doug Jones of Alabama. Those three had the unmitigated nerve of Almighty God to stand in the face of all those 46 fellow Democrats and say, man, that's too far even for us. So, Father, we do pray for Robert Casey, Joe Manchin, and Doug Jones. If they're not saved, save them. Thank you for the guts, the boldness to try to save the lives of children, little babies, infants, who are the most helpless in the entire world. And Father God, help us to transition in our minds, please, from black people, from white people, from ethnicity, from culture, from all that we are as in the natural, to who we are spiritually. That's who we really are. And that fits on Wednesday's teaching, our real true self. We are spirit beings first. Beg you, keep working at work in us. In Jesus' name, amen.